हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Krishna Sandarbha Adhyaya Naran 1 Adhikarna 3 Enumeration of Lila Avatars and Vibhutis Sarva Sambhadani. Some say Vyas is an Avesha form, since in some scriptures that it is said he was previously Apan Tara Tatma. Others say he's directly an umsa of the Lord, and Apan Tara Tatma merged into him. Udriti, Srila Rupa Goswami elucidates on this aspect in Lagu Bhagavatam Rita. Know that Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas is Narayan in itself. Who else except the Lord could produce the Mahabharata? Vishnu Purana 3:4-5, Mahabharata 12, 3:4-6-11. It is said in Mahabharata that a sage named Apantaratama, who had extinguished internal ignorance, became Dwaipayana Vyas. This means that the sage merged into the Ishwara form of Dwaipayana, or that he was an umsa of Vishnu. Lagu Bhagavatam Rita, chapter 3, text 82-83. This is related in the Narayaniya of the Mahabharata. Apan Taratatma was an austere brahmana who had extinguished ignorance. He merged into the Lord Dwaipayana, or can be regarded as an umsa of Vishnu, in the matter that Drona and Dara were umsas of Nanda and Jashoda, and merged into them when they appeared on earth with Krishna. Because of this, some said that Vyasa is an Aveshavatar, like the Kumaras. Yes, so the point is that even their Navesh is counted as an avatar because the Naveshas are empowered by the Lord. And so, to the degree of the Lord's empowerment, then they're able to do wonderful activities. So it's not that, because the point is it's the Lord's potency who is enacting everything. And so, depending upon the Lord's potency, so when it says that it has to be directly an umsha of the Lord, you know, who else but Narayan himself could do this, means it's Krishna's potency and his desire that is happening. Now, whether it is the Narayan form or it's an umsha form. So in this case, if it's umsha, then he's merged into that other aspect. Because we see is that there's going to be these different features in that of the Lord. The avatars, when they come, there may be a greater pastime or a smaller pastime. You know, it's lighter, like we see is in the Nisinga Purana, when they have the churning of the milk ocean, at that time, then it was not as grand as it was as described in the Bhagavatam. Didn't have as many things happening and all that. More simple. You know, it was time to churn the mountain. Garuda brought the mountain, put it already on Korma, who was there. You know, the two sides did. They churned and Haribol, like that. But we see is in the Bhagavatam gives much more detailed description and more things happening and more, you know, unfolding of the pastimes. But the main point is that it's the Lord only who can do these things. That's the main. Vriti. Next, the Paravasta form of the Lord is Rama, the killer of a demon Ravana, as described. Anucheda 22. Nara deva tvam apana sura karya chikirshaya samudra nigrahan hadini chakre vir yan yata param. The Lord, taking the kingly form of Rama, performed brave actions such as controlling the ocean with a desire to help the Devatas. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.22. As the 18th avatar, Ataparam, the Lord took the form of a king, not a Devatvam, as Rama. He is directly the Purusha, since in Skanda Puran, Rama Gita, it is said that he showed the universal form and was praised by Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma. Sarvasambhadani. Rama appeared during the Treta Yuga of the 24th cycle of Yugas in Vaivasvata Manvantara. So that was 24th. Mm. We're in the 28th.
Yes, ma'am.
So it wasn't even this time around, but it's in the same, how you say it?
Manvantara.
Yeah. Riti, the appearance of Swayam Bhagavan, Lord Krishna, and his Prakash expansion, Lord Balaram, are described next. Anucheta 23. Ekona vimshe vimshatim vimshatime vrishnishu prapya janmani. Rama Krishna viti bhuvo bhagavan aharad bharam. The Lord appeared in the Vrishni dynasty in the two forms of Balaram and Krishna as the 19th and 20th avatars and relieved the burden of the earth. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.23. The word Bhagavan here indicates the direct appearance of Bhagavan, not from the Purusha named Aniruddha. The word Bhagavan distinguishes Krishna from others. Krishna and Balaram are both addressed as Bhagavan, since Krishna is directly Bhagavan and Balaram is his direct expansion. They both relieve the earth of its burden. Thus, even Balarama is also rejected as an expansion of Aniruddha, since Krishna manifests Vasudeva and Balaram manifests Shankarshan. Udriti, Srila Rupa Goswami. Balaram appeared from two mothers and one father, Vasudev. He had a white complexion, like new camphor, and wore dark blue cloth. He is Sankarsana, the second member of the Chaturvyuha, who becomes Sesha for holding up the earth. There are two varieties of Sesha. One form holds up the earth, and the other acts as the bed of Vishnu. He who holds up the universe is called Sankarsana, because Sankarsana empowers him, a jiva. Taking the form of the bed, he is Ishwara, not the jiva. He identifies himself as a friend and servant of Krishna. Okay, so that means then the... Yeah, so then a jiva can take that position, being empowered by the Lord. Not the bed of Vishnu, but the, you know, holding up the universe, you know, holding up the planets, because every planet is held on the head of of Ananta, just like every universe outside is held up on the head of Ananta. But it's said it's like a, you know, each universe is like a mustard seed on his head. So if we put a mustard seed on your head, you wouldn't even notice it. So. Yes, it appears so. But if there's no one to take the position of the Vaishya, he does it himself. You know, so that's always said. So in other words, that could be taken like that. So there may be a distinction there. Because otherwise, if there's some place where it's saying he's an Vaishya, that means the one who's doing this universal affairs work, but who's directly taking as the bed of Vishnu, that's then that's the Ishwara. So, yeah. Krishna, dark in complexion with two and four hands, appeared with Devaki as mother and Vasudeva's father. Lagu Bhagavatam Rita, chapter 3, text 87 to 88. Yeah. So there's these aspects here where Krishna is how things are being done. Then, in other words, you have the aspect where Krishna expands as Balaram and Balaram takes care of everything else. But at the same time, is going to be just as Krishna and Balaram, that relationship, the Lord and his expansion, then you're going to get the same thing with Vasudeva and Sankarsana. So as you're saying, is then therefore that position of Krishna, then he expands as Vasudev, and Balaram expands as Sankarsana. Does that make sense? Because there's the mood, because the mood is very important, because that's where you get the difference in what is it, in Prakash? What's the difference where you'll get Balaram is?
Vaibhav.
So Vaibhav means it's a different mood?
Yes, different mood.
Vaibhav Prakash. So like that. So Vasudev and Krishna will have that similar mood. And then Balaram and Sankarsana, they'll have similar mood. So therefore that mood is expanding from Krishna. And Sankarsana is from Balaram. Does that make sense? When you're looking at mood. If you're looking at just the mechanics of it, then everything's expanding from Sankarsana. So even Vasudeva and everything, and then from that Vasudeva comes Sankarsana and Vrindanyu, like this. Or if he goes from Sankarsana to Sankarsana, then you have Vasudeva and Vrindanyu. But in that, the relationship will always be Vasudeva will have that flavor and mood of Krishna, and Sankarsana will have that mood of Balaram. So, yeah. Okay. Vicky, the appearance of Lord Buddha and Aveshavatar is described in the next Anucheta, Anucheta 24. Tatakalau sampravite samohaya sura dvisham buddho nananjana sutta kikateshu bhavishyati. Then, when Kali Yuga starts, Buddha, the son of Anjana, will appear in the province of Gaya for bewildering the demons. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.24. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Buddha, a powerful incarnation of the personality of Godhead, appeared in the province of Gaya, Bihar, as the son of Anjana, and he preached his own conception of nonviolence and deprecated even the animal sacrifices sanctioned in the Vedas. At the time when Lord Buddha appeared, the people in general were atheistic and preferred animal flesh to anything else. On the plea of Vedic sacrifice, every place was practically turned into a slaughterhouse, and animal killing was indulged in unrestrictedly. Right? Because in the Vedic things, all these things, the animal sacrifice, they're very, very restricted. Means that they're just like an ashrameda yajna. You can't do more than one ashrameda yajna a year. Means it's not possible, because to build the kunda it takes 9 months. Mm-hmm. You know? Does that make sense? You know. So then, and then the yajna itself then takes so much time. You know, the preparation, the setting up. That's just the kunda takes that much. Not because it's that hard to build. You could probably, if you had all the ingredients, put it together in one day. But it has 5 layers and it has so many bricks, I think there's 10,000 bricks total, and they all have specific shapes. And so at a particular titi, then the first layer of bricks is made. And then you have triangular ones and you have square ones. And then the husband makes the square ones, his wife makes the triangular ones, so then they have to be made, then they have to be, of course, baked in the sun. You know, they're not fired, but they're baked in the sun. And then at a particular titi, then they're laid down. Then the next ones, are, you know, so there's a whole thing of when you make each bricks, when you lay them down like that, and that takes 9 months to do all that. And so you can't do more than one a year. You know, same with these other, the Soma Yajna, unless you have, I think it's 3 years of full grains to maintain everything, you can't do the sacrifice, because you use all those 3 years in that one sacrifice. Like that. The Soma Yajna, I think, also has, 90 Brahmins. So you have to feed all them, give all charity, then you know all the different things you have to do. So all these things have great restriction. We even see on the Kali worship of the goat, only once a month on the dark moon night can the sacrifice be performed. That's once a month, right? Does that make sense? You know, the one where Petris, then you're only worshiping the Petris once a year, like that in Bhadra. You know, in Krishna's mind. So that's going to be, that's restricted. But as they said here, is they would just say, it's just like in Calcutta, they have the Kali deity there and they have the butcher shop in front. And so then, you know, it's every day is Kalipat, but that's not allowed. So he's saying that's what it turned into. So Buddha came to stop all that.
So the Kuladevis and everyone were very popular, I think. So the Kuladevis and
the family deities.
Family deities, especially the village deities, they have there their sacrifice.
Yeah, so then it's like everybody's doing it like this or whatever. So the point is there's no restriction. Because that's the whole point. Human life means you regulate. You regulate so that there's proper time, proper purity. So if there's a regulation and purity, then you can have elevation in human life. But if those two aren't there, you can't have those things. That's why these things are so important. We always have times for doing everything, and we always have a purity connection with everything. Then you can purify and elevate human life. Otherwise, then it becomes very difficult. Lord Buddha preached nonviolence, taking pity on the poor animals. He preached that he did not believe in the tenets of the Vedas and stressed the adverse psychological effects incurred by animal killing. Less intelligent men of the age of Kali who had no faith in God followed his principle, and for the time being, they were trained in moral discipline and nonviolence, the preliminary steps for proceeding further on the path of God realization. Right, so here, moral discipline, so then there's the regulation and nonviolence. Preliminary steps for proceeding further. He deluded the atheists because such atheists who followed his principles did not believe in God, but they kept their absolute faith in Lord Buddha, who himself was the incarnation of God. Thus the faithless people were made to believe in God in the form of Lord Buddha. That was the mercy of Lord Buddha. He made the faithless faithful to him. So they weren't believing in God. They were just interested in the Vedic rituals. And that's only because they got particular benefits, the material benefits. So they weren't interested in God consciousness. But by following those, they got their benefits, and they had enough. There was enough maturity to understand that good work gives good results. So they wanted to follow the rules, because they would get good results. Unfortunately, what rules they were following were not good, were not applicable. Killing of animals before the advent of Lord Buddha was the most prominent feature of the society. People claimed that these were Vedic sacrifices. When the Vedas are not accepted through the authoritative disciplic succession, the casual readers of the Vedas are misled by the flowery language of that system of knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita, a comment has been made on such foolish scholars, avipasthitaha. The foolish scholars of Vedic literature who do not care to receive the transcendental message through the transcendental realized sources of disciplic succession are sure to be bewildered. To them, the ritualistic ceremonies are considered to be all in all. Right? So just like you see nowadays, the scholars who do look at the Vedic culture, it's all about the ritual. That's what makes it what it is. It's not about the realization, the God consciousness, and things like that. It's simply what rituals they have. They have no depth of knowledge. According to the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaischa Sarver Aham Eva Vedyaha. The whole system of the Vedas is to lead one gradually to the path of the Supreme Lord. The whole theme of the Vedic literature is to know the Supreme Lord. The individual soul, the cosmic situation, and the relationship between all these items. When the relation is known, the relative function begins, and as a result of such function, the ultimate goal of love, or going back to Godhead, takes place in the easiest manner. Wow. So nicely, I say, stated, but at the same time, is it? It keeps you on the focus of what it is. You don't get distracted by anything else, that is it. The whole theme of it, to know the Supreme Lord, the individual soul, the cosmic situation, and the relation between all these items. Between these things. Then, when the realization is known, the relative function begins. So it means the function between them based on that relationship. And then the ultimate goal, is going back to Godhead. Unfortunately, unauthorized scholars of the Vedas become captivated by purificatory ceremonies only, and natural progress is thereby checked. So they look at some of the rituals, but they're not actually looking at the relationship. So avideya means what's the acting on the relationship, not the ritual that you may be using in acting on the relationship. We put too much on, just like it's on varnashram. If devotees are not inclined to varnashram, why not? Right? It's all about the ritual. You know, it's all about the structure. Oh, there's, you know, Brahman superior, Shudras inferior. You know, we can't have that. We have to have equality. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. To such bewildered persons of atheistic propensity, Lord Buddha is the emblem of theism. He therefore, first of all, wanted to check the habit of animal killing. The animal killers are dangerous elements on the path going back to Godhead. There are two types of animal killers. The soul is also sometimes called the animal, or the living being. Therefore, both the slaughter of animals and those who have lost their identity of soul are animal killers. Maharaj Parikit said that only the animal killer cannot relish the transcendental message of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if people are to be educated on the path of Godhead, they must be taught first and foremost to stop the process of animal killing, as above mentioned. It is nonsensical to say that animal killing has nothing to do with spiritual realization. By this dangerous theory, many so-called sannyasis have sprung up by the grace of Kali Yuga, who preach animal killing under the garb of the Vedas. Right, so just the same reason Buddha came. Right? The subject matter has already been discussed in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Maulana Chan Kazi Sahib. The animal sacrifice as stated in the Vedas is different from the unrestricted animal killing in the slaughterhouse. Because the Asuras, or the so-called scholars of Vedic literatures, put forward the evidence of animal killing in the Vedas, Lord Buddha superficially denied the authority of the Vedas. This rejection of the Vedas by Lord Brahma was adopted in order to save people from the vice of animal killing, as well as to save the poor animals from the slaughtering process of their big brothers, who clamor for universal brotherhood, peace, justice, and equity. They clamor for these, but they're not seeing. So that's why anything less than the equality of all living entities, you know, all living beings, then it falls short. It means Krishna is the supreme and all others are his servant. And so in that way, then there's, you have, and then the jivas, then they're all of the same nature. So then that becomes equality. So that even the world peace and philanthropy and brotherhood and you know, like that, all these things still fall short. So it's still on a based on an upadi. Well, this other is based on the soul servant of Krishna, so that's not an upadi. That's actual and designate. That's the proper designation. There is no justice when there is animal killing. Lord Buddha wanted to stop it completely, and therefore his cult of ahimsa was propagated not only in India, but also outside the country. Technically, Lord Buddha's philosophy is called atheistic because there is no acceptance of the Supreme Lord, and because that system of philosophy denied the authority of the Vedas. But that is an act of camouflage by the Lord. Lord Buddha is the incarnation of Godhead. As such, he is the original propounder of Vedic knowledge. He therefore cannot reject Vedic philosophy. But he rejected it outwardly because the Sura Dvisha, or the demons, who are always envious of the devotees of Godhead, try to support cow killing or animal killing from the pages of the Vedas. This is now being done by the modernized sannyasis. They just mention it, but the point is they're saying the Vedas, but it's sanctioned in a particular way. And so no one's following according to that. They're just interested in that and just saying it's, so they're rationalizing. So we see is, and there's basically no regulation. Like that. You see in the Abrahamic, they try to regulate, at least between the Judaic and the Islamic, they regulate. The Christians have lost that regulation. Yes?
Can we say, Maharaj, because Buddha rejected the Veda, so he actually preached the pranamoya level.
Yes.
Because people were doing what they were doing, and then he doesn't have philosophy, not because he doesn't explain the moral principle he preaches, because it's not based on Veda, because yes. When we say Buddhists don't have philosophy, mm-hmm. You know, people freak out or they just don't understand what it means he doesn't have philosophy, because, you know, there's some explanation of, you know, of the world, of the existence, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. like that.
Right.
But he created it.
Yes. He's just taking... Means, in other words, there's going to be elements like we see in the Veda, like the six schools use. They're taking something from the Veda, but then they're speculating and come up with their own idea of it. Mm-hmm. You know, just like here is in the Veda, it talks about the animal sacrifices. Then they come up with their own idea about application. You know, so in the same way as he'll be, because basically everyone who would be joining, especially those who would be leading the Buddhist movement, would all be Brahmins. All their greatest, you know, how you say, leaders and preachers and scholars were all Brahmins that just became converted into Buddhism. So that they're not interested in God, therefore you have to give reasons and philosophy. You know, it's when we say philosophy, it means it's just like anamoy is that actual consciousness. You know what I'm saying? It means you're conscious, you know, like the animals are conscious. But the point is it's not actual human consciousness. So human consciousness begins at manamoy. Below that, pranamoy is still not human. It's close. It's quasi-human. You know, so here in this context, that it's not even considered so much, means you could say in one sense they're quasi-theistic. Because they accept that there is a, you know, the supreme, and they say Buddha, and like that, and there'll be different levels of how they see, whether it's personal or impersonal or things like this. But they don't actually get back to Vishnu.
Right.
They don't know. So it's going to be in the same category like those who accept the demigods as supreme. You know, this kind of thing where they say they're theistic, they believe in God, but they're not actually believing in Vishnu. Yeah. Like that. And then you'll have, I would say that's ones who are more serious. And then others, it's just going to be, it's kind of like, yeah, it's there, and that's kind of like those who God is more of a concept to them. And they're comfortable with the concept, but they don't actually apply or know much about it, or it doesn't really have so much connection other than through just they will perform their moral duties a little better because there's a concept of the supreme. So God just becomes an anga of their morality. You know, and that's all. There's a feeling that there. Then there's ones who are a little bit more that there's some kind of directive to where it is. And then it just goes back. So your common Buddhist and all that, it'll all be about, like you said, pranamoy. That'll be being good, being nice, you know, all these things. So it won't get. But even you see in the Abrahamic, basically that's what has to be preached. You could bring in the monotheistic concept, so that they go to within the category of theistic, but it still has the, it's not fully theistic because they don't believe in the form of the Lord and the things like that. But, and the emphasis on application is again still going to be the sub-religious principles of being good, being nice, doing all the different things like that. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, on the Sabbath, then the emphasis is on not working, not taking any steps, not on worshiping the Lord.
That was before, but then it just got lost with time.
Yes, that's the whole thing. That's what I was saying is here is that people just see the rituals, just see the ceremonies, but the whole point of it gets lost. So that's the difficulty, is that unless it's kept alive through the parampara, it gets lost. You know, so that will be the difficulty. And it always comes out. It's seen as just rituals, and it was just rituals. Then just rituals isn't actually proper. There's a mood, there's a this and that. But unless it's sampradayic, I mean, you know, it's brought in the proper way, then that going, adding in the proper understanding and therefore creating a balance doesn't happen, then it's just the rituals themselves are removed for a seemingly more accessible form of the ritual. So in other words, instead of taking the ritual itself and we've forgotten how it connects to Krishna, add in Krishna, then you can see is, okay, Krishna's been added, does the ritual stay the way it is? Or is there some aspects that we've overemphasized since we've kind of not been so God-conscious? So if it is, then there would be the natural point of adjusting those points. And if it's the standard practice, and that's what we would do, Parampara would recommend that, then that would stay. Right? But otherwise what happens is this: the ritual is there, it doesn't have the life and all that, so that's bad. But because we only see rituals, we throw that out. And then now we look again at the scriptures, and then you find, you know, where are the easier ways to do it. So in other words, the loopholes become the accessibility. And then you do that. Then again, it becomes ritualized. Because before, like we said, you had the Sadducees, then you had the Pharisees. So the Pharisees are the ones who are looking more as, you know, you got to be more practical. But now that's become so ritualized, you know, like that. So now there's people who are trying to do the reform and this and that. They're trying to bring something more into it. How successful they are is another thing. And it's not necessarily that people appreciate it. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, how you say, our Essene friend, that he tried to bring in more of the devotional side rather than just a switch for a simpler ritualistic, and that didn't go down well. You know, and he had both of them there at the time.
Well, yes.
I mean, they were both there. Now it's, I think, basically just Pharisees. You don't have Sadducees. You know, if there are, they're very, very limited. But back that time, you had both.
Two groups. Yeah. Yeah. Those still exist, but they're not very prominent.
Okay.
The Orthodox.
Yeah.
They're still there. But yeah. It's like, so can we say, Maharaj, that both the Abrahamic, those who preached, because Jews, they didn't preach, they right. don't preach. But, and Buddha, they all preached Upadharma. It's not Dharma as such.
Yes.
It's just certain moral principles
yes.
to keep the human society just on a basic human level. Because as you mentioned, you know, Anamaya means instincts.
Yes.
And the pranamaya means, you know, some law of yes. coexistence.
Yes. But what you're trying to bring it in, like with Buddha, it's just that you're supposed to be good and nice, not because God said, but because that's just what'll make things work.
Right.
So that will be more pranamaya, like anybody who comes up with some kind of social system like that. The Abrahamic and that would be more than it's God's laws, but it's about being, but the emphasis is still on being good. So it's still down in the pranamoy. Mm-hmm. But there's a concept that the origin of that does come from manamoy.
Yeah.
But there's not really much. It means if you don't act in that way, no one will complain. And if you did, you'd be a saint. They'd write about you. You know. And so. It's meant, Bhavishya Purana mentions that they would preach. So even Lord Jesus, when he preached, he would preach pranamoya, you know, sub-religious principles, because that's the thing. So that's the why Bhagavatam then points out that these that approach of sub-religious principles, that's kicked out, because we're just presenting pure bhakti. Pure bhakti already includes the engagement of sub-religious principles. They come in as a support. You know, it's just like, let's say, we have some people in the kitchen talking about the fabulous kitchen and how I bought this one pot here and that one there, and they have a whole story in a Megillah about everything in the kitchen, you know, like that. But nothing's happening in the kitchen. And, you know, and then somebody who's actually hungry and wants to do something comes in the kitchen. And so then starts to cook. So all those things in the kitchen, all those things that are greatly appreciated and glorified and, you know, are in, what do you call it? You know, how you say, Home and Garden magazines and cooking magazines and, you know, all these different things, that simply becomes subservient to the principle of cooking and the goal of the cooking. You know, so that's the thing, is they don't even get the cooking, which is the activity of the kitchen, let alone the goal of it. You know, because the goal is not cooking. The goal is, that's the medium for something else. So that's the thing, is when you see the, what is it, Prabhupada mentioned that relationship. The relative, when the relation is known, Sambandha, the relative function begins. So based on that relation, then the function begins. So you know all the pots and pans, then you can start the function of cooking. But there is a result from that cooking. Does that make sense? So we do it all in connection with the Lord, then everything becomes subservient to that. Well, let's say the materialist, then it'll be for their own sense gratification. So even though it's the same technique, it's all about sense gratification. So it doesn't actually go out of the realm of materialism. So,
yeah.
So that becomes the point there, is that there's a lot of overlap. Each level of the five levels generally has sub-levels to them. Just like an animoid, you have all the animals, and then you have the humans. And with the animals, you have the moving and the non-moving. Right? And then in the humans, you have the uncivilized and the civilized. So basically, you have four categories. It means two major subdivisions with each two subdivisions. Then within pranamoy, then you're going to have those who are moralistic but atheistic, and those who are quasi-theistic. There's a concept of God, but they don't actually know anything about God like that. So it's not actually monomoy. But there's a kind of concept there. And so they prefer it because they're situated in pranamoy. Then if you have God consciousness, the pranamoy is so much more inspiring and goes better. So that's the whole reason. In other words, God makes pranamoy work better. Not that God is there. Then in monamoy, so you're going to have those divisions. Then in monamoy, you're still also going to have those two divisions of the those who actually know God and that, and those who are worshippers of the demigods. So that quasi-theistic then features in pranamoy as the top, and in monamoy as the lower. And sometimes those, you know, it can move a bit, you know, they overlap a bit. So then those who know, then they know Vishnu is supreme and this, and, you know, all the things that Shastra says. But ultimately, it doesn't matter to them, or they don't believe that he has an eternal form. So he's there, but, you know, they'll be ultimately impersonal. So then you have those two. And then within the Vidyanamoy, then you're going to have those who then are looking at it from the soul, and therefore the knowledge and detachment that's there. And so there's our jnanis. And then you're going to have the sadhakas, who actually know God, you know, like that. And so then, and from there, then you'll get into the Anandamai, where you're going to have those on the platform of Rag and those on the platform of Prema. Does that make sense? It'll be lower, because Bhava will be lower than Prema. So there's always going to be these levels, and within them you can find different categories, you know, there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, those are still aspiring for perfection, means for coming to the ultimate position of that relationship, and those who have it. Does that make sense? So within that, then within Bhava, there's going to be those who, it says Vrindavan, or it's always, you know, it's going to be Vaikuntha. You know, so you're going to always have these varieties that are there, but you have the main. So sometimes some of these things overlap. So that's why then it's seen that, well, it's confusing, but it's not, because there's a main flavor. Then you see the other contacts, So if the main flavor is about the Vedas, because Manomoy means it's about the Vedas. You know, like that. So but you do have that aspect is you have the monotheistic, but it's not about the Vedas. But at least they accept there's a scripture and things like that. And so then they're coming there. But the main thing is on Pranamoy. Right? It means the lifestyle is purely Pranamoy. But the idea, the philosophy is that of Manomoy, but it's not very developed. I mean, it's like philosophy is literally one and a third page. Well, actually, if you took... because that's in two columns, right? It's a third of one column. Or sometimes even a half, so... yeah, it's not a whole lot. Less than one and a half pages. And that's your philosophy, you know, creation and everything like that. There might be a verse here and there where there'll be a little bit, but, you know, if you put them all together, you might end up with 2 pages, 3 pages, you know. So that's the thing, it's not so developed. So the focus is more on the cultural aspect. You know, that's why you said there's no need to preach, because it's a culture, so you're either part of it or you're not.
Yeah, it's all community spirit that what gives people shelter,
yeah.
And they feel fulfilled. They don't need much more than that.
Yeah. So they're comfortable on that. Though it's coming from a religious and theistic place, but the focus of their consciousness may not be there. You know what I'm saying? Not that the basis isn't from there, but it's not that's what matters to them. Just like you can have devotees who are they situated themselves on the Vijnanamoya sadhakas, and their ultimate goal is in the Anandamoya as service to Krishna and developing love for him. But at the same time, their social interaction is not necessarily based on Varnashram, it will be based on your atheistic, you know, moralism. And they'll even think that it's what makes bhakti work. You know, without that, you can't have bhakti. So does that make sense? So it's just impurities that are there. So it's a natural thing that can come up. But as we said, niyamagraha means you're unwilling to move on. Means you're situated there. And see, point is you have to be steady to move forward. So if I'm at one place, when I'm steady in that, you know, in connection with the process, then I can start to now apply myself to a higher level. Though I'm stable on this level, but I can start doing a higher level. Like, let's say someone is steady in their lifestyle and they add in, let's say, chanting. You know, one day they chant one round, sometimes they chant, you know, 5-6 rounds, or, you know, they go to Janmasthami, they might chant 16 rounds, like that. But something is there, but it's not steady. But at some point they get to 16 rounds. They can be steady at that. Now that becomes your steady platform. You know, not that steadiness means you're interested in, you know, associating with devotees and being around and Krishna consciousness. That's your steadiness. No, it's moved up to Bhajana Kriya. And so now you're chanting 16 rounds. Now while you're chanting, then that becomes steady. Now you can start look at, well, what are the impurities in the heart? You know? And so then that comes, but at some point you can deal with those nicely, and then you move up to that level. Then there comes the point of the stability that it's all about Krishna, everything connected to Krishna, and so that makes it what's important. It means other aspects, the anarthas aren't worthwhile anymore. So you don't have faith in the social, economic, judicial kind of concepts. As these are your inspirations, and that's what holds your community, and that's why people work. But you see, it's no pure devotion. But, you know, you're still trying to remove the anarthas, so sometimes it'll be there fixed and sometimes not. But at some point, it comes that's the realization, then you have to move up. Means you're here, you're solid. You pick up one foot, you put, you're still good. But when this is good, you have to pick up this foot. Like that. So therefore, you know, maintaining pranamoya concepts, you know, and not letting them go because they might be nicely accepted in the mundane world and all that, and so we want to use them and, you know, be progressive and all that, but they have to remember they're being progressive, you know, along with the guys in the bucket, you know. That's the direction they're going.
Reverse progression.
Yes, yeah, the moonwalk. Looks like you're going forward, but, and you look cool, right, you know. So that's the thing is, one has to be able to move up. You know, and when you're stable, you're steady and all that, then this starts to get a taste, then you have to focus on the taste of it. And then it's got to be that the taste is your drive, not because I'm doing the rule and I always do this, but if something else will give you the taste. You know, so in other words, I'm steady to get taste. Let us say there's a kirtan, and you're in the kirtan, there's taste there. But then you think, oh no, it's time for me to go and do something, do one of my, you know, aspects of sadhana that I always do at this time. But that aspect of sadhana is so that you can have taste. So if the taste is going on, you don't need to go, you know, let's say, clean your room or something that you always do at that time. You can do that later. You know. It's not like you forgot to turn off the gas or something, you know. Does that make sense? You know, so the same way as then in being stable and stuff like that, and these higher things, there's also then there's the point of the Krishna consciousness, and then there's the form of it. So it's like we chant Gayatri to become absorbed in hearing and chanting about the Lord. It's a purification. It's a focus. So if we're hearing discussions about Krishna Kata, we won't stop that and go off and chant Gayatri. Does that make sense? Like you see in the morning, you know, the artiks going on and that, and you see all the Brahmins in the back sitting there, you know, sitting very nice and straight and facing east and all that, not looking at whatever else is going on and chanting. No, that is so you can do this. Does that make sense? You know, you're out on the road, do that. Or it's something other arrangement, do that. Or do that earlier. They have to do it when the sun rises or something. Any time after your bath and before the sun rises, you have a window there. You know, but Tulsi Artik, is there another time? You know. So that kind of thing. Is you would be careful of these things. Does that make sense? So like that, it has to move up. And you come to Bhava, you have to move up. Otherwise, what happened to those gopis that didn't move up? When Krishna played the flute, they didn't get to go because they were stuck on their level. They weren't moving forward. They weren't progressive. As it said, if they were progressive, they would be wanting more. They would get the association of the Nitya Siddhas. Then they would start to develop that mood, which would develop their Purvarag, yes. And so from that, they would then naturally, as soon as Krishna played the flute, just go. Yogamaya would have let them go. But here, it came up, but there wasn't that rock. They had that interest in Krishna. They wanted, but they hadn't put in that they hadn't moved the consciousness to the point of samadhi. They were at some lower level. Right? You know, because you have those five levels. They hadn't got to samadhi. And so then, by being stopped and all that, and they absorbed in Krishna, those who became absorbed in samadhi like that very, very quickly, then they, by some arrangement of Yogamaya, were able to escape and go. Even though they hadn't got there yet, but very quickly they got. And those who hadn't, then they're the ones that got locked up in their rooms, and like this and that. Then, in that situation, then they came to that platform by absorbing in Krishna and all that. And by being absorbed, then the next time there was Rasa, then they went. So the point is you have to move up. And even you're there in the past times, it has to be about that you come to then Vastu City. Right? Sarup City, everyone talks about Sarup City, but we're talking about Vastu City. You're following the footsteps of the previous Acharyas. That's your Sarup City. And that can be practiced all the way down to here, because your Sarup is eternal servant of Krishna. And if you're following the footsteps of the previous Acharyas, that is the perfection of your sarup at this point. It can develop just like Varnadas. Then you know starts all the way down. Is that you learn I'm serving the Krishna. So this is if Varnadas is being perfected like that. Shravanadas, you've heard about it and you hear more. You're perfected. The Smaranadas, you're remembering and it becomes. So when those three are perfected, then that leads you to then sarup siddhi. Right. Because otherwise they take it Sarup Siddhi means getting the Sarup. No, it's having the Sarup. But those gopis that didn't go to the Rasa dance, they had their Sarup. But they didn't go, so that's not Siddhi. When they went to the Rasa dance, now that's Siddhi. So there's always the thing is you have to be willing to move up. But you don't rush. You're on this level, you function on this level. Trying to function on a higher level, you'll always be disappointed. So that's the thing. It's either, you know, grunge or, you know, Radha Bhav. You know, that's like the, you know, it's like, what about, where are you actually? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So you know where you are. Like something goes wrong, somebody starts to slum it, right? You know, they just sit around, they do nothing and that. But that's not their level. Their level is what they were able to maintain. Something's disappointed them, so they do that. But their level is actually at another point. That's where they have to focus. Take a good association, and then from that it'll move up. So, yeah, so that's the difficulty, is people get into this conditioned by the, you know, some aspect of mode of goodness that this works and that they don't want to move up from there. Because there's that insecurity. But as we saw by Bhaktivinoda Thakura, if you see Krishna as the protector and maintainer, what's the problem? He's taking care of these things, so therefore you just serve. And then that situations that come up, those are just varieties to render service in, rather than difficulties. Right? Gain and safety is because there's problems. Right? But if that has been given over to Krishna, right? Safety is he's my protector, the gain is he's my maintainer. Then it's just a matter of performing service. Now those situations before we would see as against gain and safety now simply become the situations in which you serve Krishna. And so they don't have the effect because they're not affecting you. They affect the surroundings, but you know everything affects the surroundings. Yeah, it's like I noticed now it's not as hot as it was, let's say, like a month ago. No, I'm just saying the temperature, but the effect of the heat is way more. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's accumulating.
It's some far out things that the temperature can be 28 outside, but in the room you can't get it to cool down. But before, you know, Monday, if it was 28 outside, the inside would be, you'd have to turn off the AC.
26.
Yeah, it would go down. So that's the funny thing is that, you know, all these things, it's always changing. It's always having some effect. There's no perfection here because it's based on, here it's like you said, it's duality. It's too hot or too cold. It's never just right. Now the spiritual world, it's just variety. And so it gives all the different things. Because we want a certain steady thing that we'll enjoy. But if we're pleasing Krishna, then whatever the situation, we just function in that. You know? So that's why you see the 64 arts. One of them is how to fan a chamra. And the other one is how to make fires. So depending on the situation, then you're doing.
Yes.
How close you have to stand and make it work.
It's an art.
It is. If you push the wrong button. I remember somebody came in and pushed the wrong button for like 2 weeks. The thing wasn't working and this, and I couldn't get it. I couldn't figure out what was it. So finally, because I didn't, you know, how many functions are on there that you know, and you find out it's not on the cooling function, it's on something else. You know, it was on, you know, dehumidify or something like that.
I had it on heater. It was just on and I couldn't understand what's going on. It's becoming more and more hot.
Yes. So. Yeah. So does that make sense? So it's a very important aspect is that We're realistic. So that's the thing, is that this modern thing, oh, we're being practical, but are you? You're being practical to get something done. But you're getting something done, but what is the, how do you speak, items? Or what did he say here? Yeah, what is the relationship between the Lord, the individual soul, and the cosmic situations, what's going on around you? What's the relationship between those items? And when you understand that, then you are performing a relative function, a function that works with these three in mind. And then with the goal, you know, being perceived of. And then you're moving in that direction. So you're performing it, you know what the goal is, but if it's going this way, it's going the wrong way. You have to make it towards the goal. So in other words, these items are being used together to attain the goal. So that means you have to connect this and the goal and then take that path. So if that's there, that's practical. That means you have to know what these three items are. You have to know where you are, because that means the Lord's the Lord, the material energy is material energy. So the principles are the same. And we are the jiva, well, that remains the same. Now the situation of the material world and our situation on how much we're purified or impure, then that you judge and then you start moving it forward. Because this Shraddha to Prema is given for the purpose of moving forward. Right? Means if someone starts off and they come in contact with Krishna consciousness and they're already on the platform of rag, just because of that spontaneous attachment to the Lord, they don't have to worry about this process. Because by that rag, they'll just do what follows the rag, and that will the taste, the attachment, and that will come very quickly, it'll move. But this nine stages are given for someone who doesn't have. And so therefore it's for going through. So a lot of times it's taken that this is an advanced thing. No, this is just the practical, you know, ladder that is used by the devotees to come to the platform of Prema. But, yeah. Yeah. So then here's that Buddhist philosophy is technically atheistic because it doesn't accept the Lord, it doesn't accept the Vedas. And so then he's camouflaging because he's bringing them all to worship him and he is the Lord. And that. And then the idea is once they become situated, they're peaceful and all that, then you can bring them back to the Vedas and they won't be, you know, animal killers. Lord Buddha had to reject the authority of the Vedas altogether. This is simply technical. And had it not been so, he would not have been so accepted as the incarnation of Godhead. Nor would he have been worshipped in the transcendental songs of the poet Jayadeva. Right? So if it wasn't that he was just presenting this thing for the purpose of elevating the living entities, then why would he be accepted as an incarnation of the Lord, and why would he be in the transcendental songs of the poet Jayadeva? Right? Who is a Vaishnava, Acharya. Lord Buddha preached the preliminary principles of the Vedas in a manner suitable for the time being, and so also did Shankaracharya, to establish the authority of the Vedas. Therefore, both Lord Buddha and Acharya Shankara paved the path of theism, and Vaishnavacharyas, specifically Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, led the people on the path towards the realization of going back to Godhead. So now, once that Lord Chaitanya is gone, then we know actually what the proper path is for the age. And then we see with the founder Acharya coming, then you have the actual understanding how to appreciate the whole Sampradaya, what's being said in the context of how Lord Chaitanya is giving as the Yuga Dharma. And then you can see things very properly. So one shouldn't say, just as, you know, Buddha and Shankara, then they made things, you know, just what was suitable for the time being. We're also doing that, so we're coming up with our own ideas of how to do things. No, you're not an Acharya. You're not mentioned in the Vedas. So therefore, don't bother. You take what Prabhupada's given, and yes, you make it suitable, but within the context of what Prabhupada's given. We are glad that people are taking interest in the nonviolent movement of Lord Buddha, but will they take the matter very seriously and close the animal slaughterhouses altogether? If not, there is no meaning to the ahimsa cult, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.324 purport. So they talk ahimsa, but are they going to be? So mostly it becomes more of a fashion. Kikata means the area of Gaya, Sarva Sambhadini. Buddha appeared after 2,000 years of Kali Yuga. He has two arms, is brown in complexion, and has a shaved head. Okay, 2,000, so that means 3,000 years ago. Next, Vritti. Next, Anucheda describes the appearance of Kalki, who is a Shakti Avesha avatar. Anucheda 25. Atha sau yuga sandhyayam dasyu prayeshu rajasu janita vishnu yashaso namna kalkir jagat pati. At the junction of the yugas, when the kings are almost criminal, the lord of the universe, Kalki, will be born as the son of Vishnu Yashas. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.325. Yuga Sandhyam means at the end of Kali Yuga. Well, it's the end because there's always this time between the two. There's a certain amount of time that means there is an actual exact moment when it shifts from Kali Yuga to Satya, but there'll be some Sandhya in between on both sides, that there's an overlap. Sarva Sambhadini. According to some, Buddha and Kalki appear every Kali Yuga. Both are Avesha forms according to Vishnu Dharma. Pratyaksha Rupa Drigdevo Drishate Na Kalau Harahi Krita Dishveva Tenaisha Triyuga Pari Patyate. The Lord is not seen in Kali Yuga in his full form. Thus he is known as Triyuga, appearing in the other three Yugas directly. Kaler Ante Chasamprapte Kalkinam Brahmavadinam Anu Pravishya Kurute Vasudevo Jagatstitim. At the end of Kali Yuga, the Lord appears as Kalki, a Brahmavadi in this world. Purvot Paneshu Bhuteshu Teshu Teshu Kalau Prabhu Kritva Pravesham Kurute Yad Api Pretam Achuta. In Kali Yuga, the Lord, to fulfill his will, appears among living beings who previously appeared. Vritti. Next, Anucheda sums up all the other avatars of the Lord. Anucheda 26. All the others are not mentioned, such as Hayagriva, Hari, Hamsa, Prishnigarbha, Vibhu, Satyasena, Vaikuntha, Ajita, Sarvabhauma, Vishvakshena, Dharma Setu, Sutama, Yogeshwara, Brihadbhanu, and the Yuga avatars such as Shukla are now collectively mentioned. Avatara Yashankyeya Hare Sattva Nidher Dvija Yata Vidha Sina Kulya Sara Sasyu Sahasrasaha. Unlimited avatars arise from the Lord, the treasure house of pure goodness, just as thousands of small rivers flow from an inexhaustible lake. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.326. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The list, can we get the dot under the R?
Yes.
Okay. The list of incarnations of the personality of Godhead given herein is not complete. It is only a partial view of all the incarnations. There are many others, such as Sri Hayagriva, Hari, Hamsa, Prishnigarbha, Vibhu, Satyasena, Vaikuntha, Sarvabhauma, Vishvakshena, Dharma Setu, Sudama, Yogeshwara, Brihadbhanu, and others of the bygone ages. Sri Prahlad Maharaj said in his prayer, "My Lord, you manifest as many incarnations as there are species of life, namely the aquatics, the vegetables, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts, the men, the demigods, etc., just for the maintenance of the faithful and the annihilation of the unfaithful. You invent yourself in this way in accordance with the necessity of the different yugas. In the Kali Yuga, you have incarnated garbed as a devotee." this incarnation of the Lord in the Kali Yuga is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many other places, both in the Bhagavatam and in other scriptures, in which the incarnation of the Lord as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explicitly mentioned. In the Brahma Samhita, also it is said indirectly that although there are many incarnations of the Lord, such as Rama, Narsingha, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma, and many others, the Lord himself sometimes incarnates in person. Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not, therefore, incarnations, but the original source of all other incarnations. This will be clearly explained in the next shloka. So the Lord is the inexhaustible source for innumerable incarnations, which are not always mentioned. But such incarnations are distinguished by specific extraordinary feats, which are impossible to be performed by any living being. That is the general test for identifying incarnation of the Lord, directly and indirectly empowered. Some incarnations mentioned above are almost plenary portions. For instance, the Kumaras are empowered with transcendental knowledge. Sri Narada is empowered with devotional service. Maharaj Prichu is an empowered incarnation with executive function. The Matsya incarnation is directly a plenary portion. So the innumerable incarnations of Lord are manifested all over the universe constantly, without cessation, as water flows constantly from waterfalls. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.26 purport. The Lord is a treasure of the Shakti, which reveals Sattva, Sattva Nidhehi. An example is given. The avatars are like thousands of rivers emanating from a lake which does not dry up. Avidasina Sarasaha. Among these Amsa avatars, there are some distinction. The Kumaras endowed with Jnana, Narada, empowered with Bhakti, are Shaktivesha forms, endowed with a portion of the Lord Shakti. Prithu and others are endowed with Kriya Shakti. For this reason, these forms, though they are Jivas, sometimes say, I am Bhagavan. Others, like Matsya, are directly avatars. Like we see as Prithu, he talks about he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because it's that potency that gives him the position he's in. So he's representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others, like Matsya, are directly Amsha avatars. This means that though they are directly Bhagavan, they are eternally endowed with Shaktis and qualities of limited scope, because they have a permanent desire for that particular quality. So Krishna taking that particular form, that's because there's a particular desire he has to fulfill, so then he'll manifest certain specific qualities, you know, for specific pastimes. Therefore, then, they become an Amsha avatar. Like that. Even though it's Krishna, but he's still taking that specific. Good?
They are in the Swamsha category of
Tadekha. Swamsha, okay. So Swamsha always means it's something less. There's less than from where they expand. These various forms are illustrated in Brahma Samhita. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who, though appearing in the worlds in eternal forms such as Rama and Narsingha with their characteristic powers, also appears personally in the supreme form of Krishna with the most attractive pastimes. Brahma Samhita 5.39. Sarva Samvadini. Some are Avesha forms. The Lord appears in three ways: Swayam Rupa, Tadekatma Rupa, and Avesha Rupa. The independent form is called Swayam Rupa. The Tadekatma Rupa is non-different from Swayam Rupa, but is dependent on it. Avesha Rupa is a special jiva whom the Lord has given powers. There are two types of Tadekatma Rupa, Tadsama and Tadamsha. Footnote 6. Tadsama is synonymous to Vilas forms listed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Tadamsha is synonymous to Swamsa forms. There are three types of Avesha, empowered with Bhakti, Jnana, or Kriya. So that's what I mentioned before. Prithu is Kriya, Kumara is Jnana, and Narada is Bhakti. And so there are these three. And then appearing within that, there may be subdivisions or any kind of combinations. Swayam Rupa is shown in Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna is the supreme controller. He is the enjoyer of innumerable consorts and the possessor of an eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Though he is without origin, he is the source of all other forms of God, and he is the cause of all causes. He is Govinda, the boy who cares for the cows. An example of Tadsama. Okay, we had Tadsama. Tadsama is Vasudeva among the forms in Vaikuntha. An example of Tadamsha is Sankarsana. Another example is Matsya. An example of Avesha form with Bhakti is Narada, with Jnana the Kumaras, with Kriya, Sesha, and Pritu. Right, so that would be that Sesha who is, means you're going to have, what do you call it? The Sesha who is
holding
the universes, that there's the Jiva. Like, you don't hear much about that form. You just know it's there. Then you're going to have the. But otherwise, the Tadamsha then would be Sesha, who's the bed of Lord Vishnu.
Ananda Sesha.
Yeah, Ananda Sesha.
One is Sesha and one is Ananda Sesha. So in this way, it's easy to.
Yeah, that works.
Otherwise, if you tell the body, is immediately
confused.
Oh.
Brain go fat.
So this is exactly the topic we're discussing right now in Lagu Bhagavatamrita.
Oh, okay.
So we started with the introduction. It was kind of okay, but then when we got into the details, it's like the level of understanding dropped below zero, I guess.
If they become confused, and then from confusion comes doubt, and from doubt comes, hey, we can enjoy, you know, it's like that, then you know something's wrong. Yeah, that's the thing, these things keep constant. That's why these things are always being discussed as the philosophy is coming up, as we're going through in the Bhagavatam, Gita, and these things. And then referred, with time people become more aware and it'll be much easier. Because it's not that, oh, this is too difficult to understand. Because as we saw, those who came into our classes, where we're talking about the technical, they'd only been in the movement 6 months. For them it wasn't a problem. You know, it's just like the kids. For them, you discuss these things, it's not a problem for them. Because they don't have any other ideas. But if we haven't been exposed to these things, then the problem is that with time, then you become confused because you have it can only be this way. We know we're going to make it. We're going to try to come to a conclusion where it becomes simple. But have we come to the conclusion of simple from the descending or from the ascending? And so then there's a problem. Is when the descending simple and our ascending simple come in contact, then sometimes there's confusion. Or it's a matter of we have the proper descending, but we didn't see it in this broad a light. You know, in other words, we're seeing a detail of that principle rather than seeing the principle itself. And we think the detail is the principle. Then we find out, no, the principle is there, and then it has this wide range of detail. So it's just association. Then at least you can get it to zero. Swayam Rupa is shown as Brahma Samhita. Ishwara Paramakrishnas Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. We did that. Narada and Kriya. Yeah, because we had the same names and the paragraph above it had the same things. Seishan Pritu. When these forms appear as if unprecedented for some purposes in the material universe, they are called avatars. Sometimes they appear directly from a pillar, for instance. Sometimes they appear through others, through devotees, for instance, acting as parents. The Swayam Rupa and Tadsama forms are called Paravasta avatars. Okay, Swayam Rupa. Okay, so that's Krishna and Balaram there. And then we said, what, Rama and Nishinga. then are Paravastha. So then they can be, so Swayamrupa and Tadsama. Okay. Tadsamas are generally Nisringa and Rama. Vaibhava forms are Varaha and Hayagriva. The others are generally Prabhava forms. The Tad. Oh, we skipped that. Oh, okay. The Swayamrupa and Tadsama forms are called Paravastha, avatars. The Tadamsas are called Prabhav, less power, and Vaibhava forms, more powers, according to the degree of powers manifest in them. Okay. So this is the Tadamsas. Okay, less powers and more, so that means Prabhav or Vaibhava.
Right. Hmm. So can we classify those ones? Swayamrupa, they would be Tadamsa, and Tadakatmarupa, they are that. No, Swayamrupa is Tadsama, and Tadakatmarupa is Tadamsa.
Well, you do get the aspect that there are tadam tad that means, let's see, means in the what's that? Tadekatma, you get those in Tadekatma, you get means you get the tadsama and tadamsa in Tadekatma. Yes.
The confusion arises because what we are describing about the Paravastha, Prabhava, Vaibhava forms, these are categorization of the avatars. Means when the Lord appears in the material world. But the other one, Swayamrupa and Tadekatma, they are the whatever expansions of Lord, there we are categorizing them. So those include how the Lord manifests from the spiritual world, Lord Krishna manifests all his expansions. That is the in the entire cosmos. But this one, Paravastha, Prabhava, Vaibhava, they are referring to the avatars within the world.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, you have Swayamrupa is in the spiritual world, right? It means it's Krishna. Then the Tadekatma is also all the expansions in Vaikuntha, right? So then Dwarka, Mathura, Mahavaikuntha, Vaikuntha, all the 24 avatars and all, I mean, all the 24 expansions. So they're all expansions. They're not avatars. Avatar specifically means coming into the material world. So when we're coming into the material world, then we may be talking about the manifesting more potency or less. You know, so there may be the Vaibhav or the, what is it?
Prabhav.
So, we don't understand.
So they're kind of like, you're giving an overall thing, but at the same time as you're having the aspects of then when you come into the material world, then you're going to have certain manifestations. So you could have, let's say, you know, Lord Ramachandra in his pastimes in the Paravyoma is in one category, but in the avatars maybe in a different, depending upon just even in pastimes how much power he's manifesting. So in this last what we have in Bhagavatam, that would be manifesting a full amount of power, but in other times it would be less, just like Krishna. In other times it's less, like in Vaikuntha they worship Krishna, but they're worshiping where Krishna is coming as an avatar of the self, not as Swayam, and manifesting less power.
So when we're speaking about the avatars, we don't classify them as Tadekatma and the person of Swayam?
No. When you're classifying avatars, either there are six classifications based on their function, that is whether they are Manvantara avatars, like that, or these four classifications based on how much power they manifest.
Right, remember that we had...
What Adesha, Prabhava,
and Paravastha.
And Paravastha.
This is based on
it's just a different list for in avatars. Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that we generally, if you'll get that, we forget, is that it would be just like, let's say we're talking about cars, we're talking about performance. That'll be one thing. Let's say we're talking about economy. That'll be a different list. We're talking about comfort. That might be a different list. You know what I'm saying? You know, or does that make sense? So we get confused because we're taking it, no, the top car would be the top in everything. But it's like you have a Ferrari, maybe the top in performance, but highly uncomfortable. You know, if you're going on a long haul, you're driving throughout Europe and like that and going to stop here and that, you wouldn't take that car. Because, you know, you can hardly sit in it, you know. Does that make sense? You know, so the thing is we have a tendency is that we'll put them all together, but there is how they connect together. But at the same time is that avatar means they've come into the material world. That's what it said. What was it? He gave a nice definition. That was like camouflage. It was before that. Well, trained in this one, non-violence. That was before that.
Maharaj, that was in the Adhyay Prakashika of this. Sorry, Adhikarana Prakashika. The beginning of this Adhikarana.
Oh, okay. There's something just gave a very nice, very succinct means when they appear in the material world. Then that's why it says sometimes the when Krishna Swayamrupa comes, he's not coming through Aniruddha. So when they're coming through Aniruddha, then they're always going to be. Yeah, there's always going to be an avatar. But I mean, even if Krishna comes here in the material world, he'd be called an avatar. Because avatar means who comes here. That's why you have Lord Chaitanya as the original, Lord Nityananda as his expansion, and that includes everything in Vaikuntha and the whole spiritual world. And then Advaitacharya is the incarnation. So he's going to represent that aspect of coming here, and then, you know, from that expansion then coming. So for those who would be expanding from Aniruddha, then they're going to be less in power. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, then what would be in the spiritual world? Does that make sense? So that's why then the Paravasta, then you're going to have, that's just about how much power is there. So then Paravasta becomes anybody who's at full power. But there's going to be a difference then on where they're going to be from. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, whether they're Tadikatma Rupa or Swayamrupa.
That's an important clarification, otherwise
yes,
you know, all up and then. Because as you mentioned, that the whole three category would have a certain functions, but they are mentioned in a different place. But then you have to see forgot that word.
Context.
Yeah, that context. Thank you.
Yes.
You have to see the context.
Yes.
Otherwise, previously it was described as a certain category, but here in this context,
it's in another.
Another category, and then you're thinking like, what's going on? This is highly contradictory.
Yeah. So just in here, so whenever you're talking about the one, because we have this, always mention that it's according to this category, according to that.
Yes,
so
it becomes. The avatars may be divided into four, but who pays attention to the avatars?
So when it goes through, then you mention about that in that category, because especially in the ones where then it starts talking about Swayamrupa, Tadekatma, Ruga, Vesha, then you have to refer back that, you know, that maybe just a little bit more in that, in the Prakashi.
More polite.
Yeah, in the Prakashi.
Here
Yeah, it means as we go through, it's referred, but in the Prakashi it's more clear, then it's easy to refer back. Right? That's the thing, is it's like purified water through sand. It slowly goes through. But you get pure water at the end.
Yeah. I've gone through this 40, 50 times.
So now we're going to 51. See, now it starts to become, you start to get the glimmer of light. Yeah, but that's why it's Sangha. You can read on your own, you won't see, because it's like, let's say, I'll be doing some reading, and you'll see something there, and it's inspiring. But then when we go through this, or we're going through the thing, now when I go back, I see something much more. You see, it's the same thing, but what's the depth? And just like I'm noticing on Prabhupada's lectures, the examples he gives, we'll take it, oh, they're very simple, they're just for, you know, people who don't know much and all that. But actually, these examples aren't because it's simple in detail, but because it's simple that it's exactly saying the principle that, you know, Jiva Goswami is talking about. So it's that, it's what Prabhupada is talking is satsandarbhas in the language we can relate to. But because we're not mature enough to appreciate the philosophy on that level, we think it's just basic stuff because we're so used to the inductive process. But as you go, you see is no, is that because how many people use those examples? You know, because it's just like someone is talking impersonal, we may get into this and that, but it's just, these were going, no, God's a person. You're a person, your father's a person, everything's coming from something, and that's why wouldn't it come from a person? We'll think, oh, that's just very basic. No, that's the fundament of, he's a person, that's why everything's personal. And that's why the impersonal is the secondary aspect. But we're, in inductive, we get to the impersonal first, so we think that that's something very special. Then you have to go through that, as it says in Ishopanishad, remove that, and then you can see, you know, that Kriya aspect, and then you go past that, then you can see the affection. So it's, you know, as you go, you start to see is that, you know, the significance of the founder Acharya, how he can put together all the different things from everybody and come up with this very, very accessible. But at the same time, he's not, you know, we'll do it by you know, I'm saying, we can necessarily say a lot of times in soft preaching, we reduce it down to, it might, you know, it just becomes pranamoy sometimes. You know, we avoid the Krishna. Prabhupada will reduce it down so that the direct personal is accessible. Because if you're talking about, you have a father, he has a father, there's always, or everything you see has a cause, means that there's no such thing as that. So if you're being scientific, that means your whole science field is based on that there is cause and effect. And that means that there's higher intelligence that is the cause, you know, and then manipulating the energy, you get the effect. So that means if the whole scientific thing, every last thing is based on that, why wouldn't it be scientific to take it back to, well, where is that intelligence that makes it that you have these laws that your science is based on? But at that point, then they'll go off and say that they're being scientific. Oh, if you say it's a person, you're not scientific. No, that's the only scientific. So this thing is, he's actually showing science and going beyond the sentiment. While we, oh, unless I know all the scientific terms, I can't argue with them. No, you know science. They're the ones that are not talking science. They talk nonsense and put Latin words on it and say it's, you know, can they speak Latin even? You know? You know, so that's the thing, is that it's very, very far out, is that Prabhupada is giving the science, he's presenting it through science in a personal way. So they only know impersonal science, but it's originally a personal science. That's the nature of it. Yes, Jim?
I was thinking that the problem is not that we don't know, but the problem is that we think we do know.
We think.
But sometimes we have a conversation on Srila Prabhupada's teaching or on the purport or on his class, and everybody say, yeah, I know. No, you don't know. It's not flat as you perceive it.
Yes.
It's very deep, actually.
Yes.
But once you think I know, there's nothing to discuss. That's it. I know everything.
The glass is full. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, very good. Yeah, that's why there's always humility, otherwise you can't.
Yeah. Like can learn, can function.
Vedic story, remember it was asked about Gautama's son?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was so proud, because, how many people have Gautama as their father, right? You know, one of the main sages of the universe, and you're highly intelligent, you know, and stuff like that, but you're so proud that you can't learn about God. With pride, you can learn something about the material energy to a limited degree, but you can't know about God. So he knew nothing. You know. So, yeah. Yeah, it's a problem. Since we want to know about God, then that becomes... That's why it is introducing pride, you know, through the body is not actually very useful. Okay, so now in here you have the Tadamsa and the Tadsamas. So in the Tadsama, where is these Tadamsa and Tadsama? These are part of?
These are part of the expansions, Maharaj.
Expansions. Meaning the Swayam Rupa or the Tadikatma? These are part of Tadikatmas.
Tadsamas are the Vilasa and then the Tadamsas are the Swamsa.
Oh, the Swamsa. Oh, okay.
Tadikatma Rupa has Vilasa and Swamsa. That naming is given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here Jiva Goswami uses Tadsama and Tadamsa so that this is already Tad is there and then one is Sama, one is Amsha.
Oh, so Tad means it's coming from the Tadikatma. Okay. Okay. Okay, so Tad Sama becomes the Vaibhav.
Vilas.
Okay. And the Tadamsa becomes the
Swamsa.
And so that would be, that's in that list. In the other list where we're showing just the powers of them, then it would be the Vaibhav.
Oh,
Prabhav and?
Paravasta, Prabhava, Vaibhava.
Okay. Prabhava and Vaibhava. But Vaibhava is not the higher one?
Higher one.
Yeah. So then the Vaibhava would be the Tadsama, no? Or is that still that can be within the Amsas can also
that
be more powerful?
The Amsas.
Oh, they have more power or less.
Paravasta.
Okay,
is
so Tadsama
is Paravasta.
Is part. Oh, okay. Okay.
We should discuss it again.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
We
yeah.
can start from this and whether.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I'm saying it's starting to a little bit piece together. No?
Okay.
Always by remembering the definitions, by memorizing and remembering the definitions, any time when we come across this word again and again, it becomes much easier.
Yeah, no, that's there, but this, the problem is there's so many of them have their Prabhav and Prakash, Vaibhav, Vilas.
If you go into details, then it gets more confusing.
Yeah, that because it has all these terms that have a very similar kind of thing, and that means if we ran this class in Sanskrit, it would probably be easier.
would make much more sense actually, because you understand the terms.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we know the terms, even if we know, it's not clear.
So sometime in the future, then we'll have run the classes in Sanskrit.
I personally feel it would be more confusing.
Oh,
the Sanskrit scholars make it.
No. But this is the fun part: is that if we ran this course in Sanskrit, all the scholars from around the world would come running. But I guarantee they'd drop out before the first year was finished. And the really tough ones might make it to the second year, and then they'd be gone because they wouldn't get the speculation they're looking for. Or they'd be, you know, stop being scholars and look at it from the devotional and then continue on.
Because the acharyas always bounce over the head of the Sanskrit scholars.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But I'm just thinking it would be nice, because if you did that, then no one could say that, you know, it's not...
scientific approach.
Yeah, it's not scholarly. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.